You're listening to The Pulse. I'm Maiken Scott, and on today's show, we're taking a look at the changing role of libraries. I'm right now in the rare book collection at the Free Library of Philadelphia. Much of this area looks like you'd picture a library from 100 years ago. I'm surrounded by beautiful old leather-bound books on ornate shelves. There are artifacts and grandfather clocks. A few days ago, in this room steeped in tradition, I met the Free Library's president, Siobhan Reardon, to talk about the future. At the end of Tanya's report, we heard about this active community role that libraries are taking on, and Siobhan said that's key for moving forward.
I have always felt that this is a time, this is the carpe diem moment for libraries right now, because we are in this amazing transition from this transactional organization to something that's more transformational and experiential. And so the more that we can provide programming and information and resources that get to this concept of collective and connected learning, which is how people learn now. When you think about how businesses are evolving, and it's all in this very, very open, noisy, conversational type learning, and how libraries need to begin to transition to those types of spaces. So you still have to, there still has to be an homage to traditional learning styles, like a room like this. But in the center of it is this very collaborative civic engagement space, because people choose to learn by conversation, and people learn through practicing and doing and watching.
So it goes far beyond research.
Oh. It goes way beyond research. But when that's been the very interesting transition, is how, yes, the research component is still very much a part of our lives, because we still have people who come to the library because they're still studying, lots of students with that practice of how to get at information. Mm-hmm. But it is really this very civic engagement type environment that we're trying to create and allow for going forward, because there really aren't many safe spaces for that conversation that needs to occur, that should occur, and we're trying to create the library to be that safe space.
This library is mm-hmm. in an old building.
Yes.
It's a beautiful old space. Mm-hmm. How do you fit a new modern library right. into this space?
So what's been fascinating about the renovations that we have done and are going to continue to do is that you actually, this building, the original architects of this building were actually very forward-thinking people when you think about how it is they created these big open spaces to allow for transformation to occur. And so, not the least of which is the upcoming project where we're going to disassemble the stacks. But what's fascinating about the stack system that was built is that it was constructed as an erector set, so it's not integral to the building. So we're going to be able to pull it away, and we're using the stack system as a scaffolding as we begin to deconstruct. And all of that becomes a massive open space. We have great images of what it was before and what we hope to do with the spaces. But it's been fascinating to see how forward-thinking they were, because in my mind, they built this space for potential change.
You're known in your profession as an innovator. You've been named Librarian of the Year. What do you want to accomplish in the next 10 years, let's say?
Oh, so I would love to... I think it's endless, but I think that from a physical plance, I would like to make sure that our libraries are beautiful, welcoming, civically engaged spaces, and so add much more beauty and utility back to the facilities. We have them, we have to take care of them, so that in 10 years, I would like to see every single facility that for which we're responsible is renovated and upgraded and remarkably 21st century in its orientation. But I also want to make sure that our relationship with community is considered just that people see that they have a connected relationship with the library, and that their input into what we do, programming, materials, and so forth, they feel they have a strong participation in that kind of work that we want to conduct.
Talk about the smell of books.
People love to talk about the smell of books, and of course when I hear smell of books, I'm like, oh, that's not a good thing. Because when you smell the books, it means the books are deteriorating. The paper's deteriorating. So yes, there's an aroma of books in this room, and it is old, and a lot of it has to do with the bindings. But the books in this room are actually fairly well preserved, because we have the right temperature and humidity and climate controls in this room. So you smell it, but not so much. But when people go into a room, like we had in the stacks, and, oh, I love the smell of books, I'm like, that's not a good smell, because you really have to know that that's paper deteriorating, and we have got to get them into a sort of preservation mode fairly quickly.
What are we smelling when we're smelling the
smell? So you're actually smelling the paper as it begins, or in the acid in the paper as it begins to sort of expire. And so the paper becomes extremely brittle.
Siobhan, thank you so much for talking with me.
My pleasure. And thank you for being here.